If you would be turning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in this session, I want to look at another familiar passage. As it seems, we've been looking at some familiar passages in these sessions, but I think sometimes it's good for us to look at familiar passages because sometimes they become so familiar to us that we actually forget how deep the meaning really is and what is really brought out by some of these passages. Now, I want to make a confession to you as you're turning there, that in preparation for this sermon, I have this program on my computer called Logos. Some of you may be familiar with it. And in Logos, they have this really neat thing called Sermon Editor. So I decided I was going to try it out. For this conference, for this setting, I was going to try out the sermon editor. And so I began to go through, and it's really great because you can type the passage that you want to reference and hit enter, and it pops it all up, and you don't have to type out the whole scripture reference, and so it saves time, supposedly. Long story short, it's about 3/4 of the way through typing quotes, scripture references, and I hit a button. And I have no idea what button I hit, but whatever it was delete. And it deleted everything. And so I called Logos because I couldn't figure out how to pull it back up because I couldn't find a redo button. And so I called, and basically after a long conversation, there was absolutely nothing I could do to pull it all back up. And so, to say the least, I was quite aggravated. But it was in that moment that God reminded me that the whole conference is on the sufficiency of Scripture. So if I'm going to preach, then I need to rely upon the sufficiency of Scripture. If you would, stand with me in honor of reading God's Word. Verse 16 says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we confess that we are a needy people. And Father, we are in need of You, the Holy God. Father, all that we do and all that we say, Father, is in need of You. And so, Lord, I ask, God, that You show us in Your Scriptures, for they truly are sufficient, God. Show us our need for You. Show us our need for Your Son. And show us, Father, our need to be dependent upon these Scriptures in which You've given us. And it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to start out by asking you one question. Do you believe in the sufficiency of Scripture? I mean, do you truly believe that the Scripture is sufficient? By definition, sufficiency is enough or adequate. Mounts says in his dictionary of Greek words that sufficiency has to do with quality or quantity. That God is enough, that He is adequate, or in this case, Scripture is enough. Scripture is adequate in both quality and quantity. Quality. Some of you are here from Good Pine Baptist Church, Brother Brandon. Some of you raise money to send to a mission that I'm personally involved in Malawi, Africa, to buy a maize meal or a corn meal. And that maize meal, corn meal, grinds up corn to make meal so that it can produce food for the people in the villages there. Well, when we got there just a month ago while I was there, the machine was running fine, but the frame that held it up was in pieces. Well, after examining, what we found was the steel was made in China. So it was very thin. The quality of the steel was worthless. And so the frame was gathered up, what was left of it, taken into town where we found some thicker steel, some worthy steel, to rebuild the frame. Quality has to do with worth. Quality has to do with weight. The weight of the worth. And when we talk about quality and we talk about worth, then there's two forms of that worth. We have a self-worth, a man-made worth, and then we have the worthiness of God. Man's worth is based upon man's opinions. And therefore, it changes over time. It wavers in your opinion and my opinion. We differ in opinion. So when it comes to books that men have written, what you say may be a good book, I may disagree with you because that becomes my opinion and your opinion based upon opinion. But the quality of God's word is not based upon my opinion or upon your opinion. It's based upon truth that God Himself has declared in His scriptures. So all other books cannot carry with them the worth and the weight in which God's holy scriptures carry. This book, this holy word, carries with it an eternal weight, an eternal worth. Because God Himself carries an eternal weight, an eternal worthiness that He and He Himself alone is worthy of having. So I ask you again, do you believe the Scripture is sufficient? Not only are we speaking of quality, but we're speaking of quantity. It is enough. When we speak of the sufficiency of Scripture, we're speaking of the Scripture as enough. But we know all too well in a day and time we live in where we're seeing false gospels, we're seeing, if gospel is what you want to call it, we're seeing false teachings and all these things that are beginning to influence the church. We're seeing so-called denominations come up with other books that are being added to the Scriptures, or a revelation that is given specially to men or to women that has equal authority as the Word of God. And what they're saying is that Scripture is not enough, therefore we must add more to it. When we speak of the quality of Scripture, we speak of Scripture as a sealed canon. It is enough. The context of this book is enough, and it is adequate to handle any spiritual situation that you have in your life. It is enough to accomplish that all that I or you as a minister of the gospel need to minister. Once you've finished preaching through this entire book, you can start over and begin to preach it again. And it's still going to accomplish exactly what God has set forth for it to accomplish. It is enough. So when we speak of the sufficiency of Scripture, we speak of both quality and quantity. So I ask you again, do you believe in the sufficiency of Scripture? Do you believe that the Scripture is sufficient enough to change people's lives? That it's sufficient enough to change man's heart? That it's sufficient enough to take a lost sinner and convert him to salvation in Christ Jesus? Do you believe the Scripture is sufficient? Then why don't we live like it? Then why don't we live like it? James says, "Show me your faith, and I will show you my faith by my works." What good is the sufficiency of Scripture if we do not use the sufficiency of Scripture? False teachings, heresy has risen up because of the lack of preaching the sufficiency of Scripture. And when Paul writes to Timothy here in this second letter that he's written to him, Paul is at the end of his life. This is most probably the last letter Paul wrote. And his concern to Timothy is not in and of himself, but it's for Timothy to continue the ministry, to continue to preach the word. Because false teaching had rose up. False teaching had begun to rise up in the church. Verse 13 says, chapter 3, verse 13 says that while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. False teaching had become prevalent in the church. But look at verse 14. Paul tells Timothy, or in our context, us, but as for you, showing Timothy that you're not to be like those imposters. You're to be different. You're to be set apart. You're to be something that they are not. And why is it that Timothy is to be something? Because Timothy has something that they do not. He has the sufficiency of Scripture. But as for you, Timothy, continue in the Word. To remain in the Word. To abide in the Word. Continue in the Word, Timothy. Why? Because Scripture is sufficient. As you look at verses 14 through 15, you see Paul explaining that very point. Why Timothy should continue in the Word. Why Scripture becomes sufficient. Scripture is sufficient to be learned. Continue in what you have learned. Knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Where did Timothy learn the Word of God? He learned it from his mother and from his grandmother. From his mother, Lois. From his grandmother, Eunice. He was taught from a very early age the Scripture. It was poured into him. His mother and his grandmother were pouring into him the Word of God. That was beginning to equip Timothy, even at an early age, for a ministry that he didn't even know he was going to have at that time. His mother, his grandmother, believed the sufficiency of Scripture was enough to teach it to their kids. To their child. Do we believe the sufficiency of Scripture? Because if we believe the sufficiency of Scripture, why is it that we're failing to bring our children up in households where the Word of God is being taught? Not only is it from his mother and from his grandmother that he's learning the Scripture, but Paul says that knowing from whom you learned it, he's speaking of himself, from me. You learned Scripture from me. I taught you Scripture. Timothy looked at Paul's life as well as being taught by Paul and saw exactly that Scripture was sufficient. He saw that Scripture was sufficient in the life of Paul. I mean, here Paul is writing him at the end of his life. Timothy's been with him on those missionary journeys. He's watched what Paul's endured. He's seen the things that he's faced. He's heard him preach the gospel. He's seen men come to faith in Christ Jesus from the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. He's learned it personally from Paul, from his preaching, from his teaching, and from the life in which Paul lived before his very eyes. Now, as I told you, I spent several weeks, just a few months ago, on the continent of Africa, and we went all over the continent of Africa, traveling with a man named Scotty McDowell, and we went all over. And we was coming through an airport in a third world country, and I was following behind him as we're going down the stairs, and I, for some reason, I just looked down, and I thought, you know, if Paul and Timothy lived in this century, this is probably what it'd feel like. I mean, we got everything that we got with us in a backpack. I mean, we're just trying to get from point A to point B to preach the gospel. But it reminded me of something. It reminded me of the investment that man had made into my life. that he was willing to carry me with him, that he was willing to show me, he was willing to teach me, and then I could look at his life and the things in which God has done through his life, and I could realize right then that the Scripture was sufficient from what I have been taught from that man that I was traveling with. If we believe the Scripture is sufficient, then why aren't we teaching others? See, for every Paul, there's a Timothy. And so I'm telling you here this afternoon that you need a Paul in your life. You need someone that you can look up to. You need someone that you can confide in. You need someone to mentor you. You need someone to teach you and point you in the right direction. But you also need a Timothy in your life. You need someone that you're discipling. Someone that you're teaching. Someone that you're bringing up. Because it's through that discipleship in which we're going to continue to see the church grow and flourish. Scripture is sufficient to be learned. Scripture is also sufficient to be believed. Continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. It wasn't just that Timothy learned it. Timothy believed it. Firmly believed it. He was most assured in what he believed. He had confidence and boldness in what he believed. You're only going to know God by the amount that you experience God. And if you've never experienced God in salvation, you can't know God. And you can't stand and say, I firmly believe what he says in his word if you don't know him. And as life brings things before your eyes, as the Word of God begins to reveal things to you in your own life, you begin to experience the Word of God. You begin to experience God. And as you experience God, you begin to stand on the firm foundation that is built in Scripture, and you firmly believe. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. It's not just that you've learned this, Timothy. You've been through trials. You've experienced things. And when you go back to the Word of God, you know that you can rest assured that Scripture is sufficient. That you firmly believed. Scripture is sufficient to be believed. We can put all our faith and trust in what the Word of God says. We can trust this Word. Scripture is also sufficient to bring salvation. Notice what he says. That you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That these scriptures are able to make you wise. The word there, able, is the same root word that you find in Romans 1:16. Here we have the verbal form. In Romans 1:16, we have the noun form of the same exact word in the original language, meaning power. Power. Scripture is sufficient. It is powerful enough to make you wise unto salvation. Why preach the Scriptures? Why continue in the Scriptures, Timothy? Because it is Scripture that is going to make you wise unto salvation. Notice the wisdom that it's from the revelation of Scripture in which it illuminates your mind to see exactly what God wants you to see in it. That God brings you to the revelation that you are a lost sinner in need of a Savior who is Christ Jesus. To make you wise unto salvation. Wisdom to a Christian is much more than intellect. Wisdom to a Christian is much more than things that you have learned throughout life in maturity. Wisdom to a Christian is in a person, and that is Jesus Christ. Revealed in God's Scriptures. Scripture is sufficient to make us wise unto salvation. That we can trust in Scripture alone to bring a lost soul to salvation. We don't need gimmicks and games. We need the Word of God. So why are the Scriptures sufficient? Scripture is sufficient because it's God's Word. Brings us to our text. All Scripture is breathed out by God. breathed out by God. We say inspiration, but the better word for that would be expiration. God breathes out His word, expiration. Think of it like this. You think of a word in your mind, and it comes out of your mouth through your breath. It produces that word. So it was with God in creation, that God thought of creation, and in His thought spoke, breathed out, and it was. God spoke, and creation was. God spoke, and His word was, carrying with it the same weight and the same authority. When we speak of inspiration, we speak of a verbal plenary inspiration. Okay, verbal, as in our words. Plenary is in full. A totality of inspiration. The entire portion of Scripture is inspired by God. All of it. Every single word of God's holy word is inspired by Him. Now, we often get all twisted up. We often get all tangled up in how did God use these writers? How did He inspire these writers to do that? God used human agents under divine supervision to write His Word. In other words, these were not robots who were sitting here just copying down word for word everything that is being spoken into their mind. Think of it. When we read the Word of God, we see Paul's passion. We can feel Paul's passion. We can understand exactly what Paul's saying, even in this passage. We understand that there was human emotion that was attached to these words. We can notice that they have their own styles, their own sense of vocabulary, all that they put in. But at the same time, they're not free and liberal to just write whatever it is they please. They're still writers under the supervision of God. There's a human agent under the supervision of God to write exactly what He intended. That the Spirit of God worked through human writers to pen God's Word entirely and exactly as He intended it. Scripture is inspired by God. And if all of Scripture, the totality of Scripture, every word of Scripture is inspired by God, then it is also infallible and inerrant. Because if Scripture is inspired by God, then it must be infallible because God is infallible. It must be inerrant because God is inerrant. Therefore, if Scripture is infallible and inerrant, then it is sufficient. Therefore, if God is sufficient, then His Word is sufficient. Scripture is sufficient because it is God's Word. Scripture is sufficient because it is profitable. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good word. Profitable means useful, as Brother Bobby has already told us. It's useful. It's able. And if it is useful, if it is able, then it is also sufficient. But to believe that Scripture is able, or to believe that Scripture is sufficient, then one must practice that belief. Scripture is sufficiently useful for teaching. What Paul is referring to here is not so much the act of teaching as it is the source of what is being taught. Doctrine, instruction. Paul is speaking of doctrine or instruction. So what he is saying is that our doctrine from the church, our instruction in the church, doesn't come from my opinion, it doesn't come from your opinion, and it doesn't come from any other man's opinion. It doesn't come from this tradition or from that tradition or anything else that's passed down through history. It comes solely and completely from the Word of God. For teaching, for reproof. A reproof is a rebuke or a persuasion in order to convict of a misbehavior or a false doctrine. a reproof, to rebuke someone. Now, when we think of rebuke, we automatically jump like to the literal extreme. Like somebody is about to get tore up in front of everybody. I mean, that's exactly where our mind goes to, is somebody's about to get their hind end chewed out in front of everybody. But what he's talking about here is bringing people to the knowledge of what they have done wrong. And we don't always have to do that so forcefully. In fact, I think that there's some things in Scripture that talks about how we ought to come to our brothers in love. And if we truly love them, then we truly have this reproof at heart, that we truly want to see them come to an understanding, to bring them to conviction in a misbehavior, in sin. That the Word of God is sufficient for reproof, for bringing people to a revelation of their sinfulness. We can even look at the Old Testament and find that the very same thing was the picture of the Old Testament. Why was the law given? Not because God ever thought man would keep the law, but to show man he could not keep the law. Why did they sacrifice in the temple? Because they couldn't keep the law. So they had to make sacrifices to atone for their sin, all pointing to Christ. To persuade them, to convict them of their sinfulness and who they are. As Timothy's dealing with these false teachers here at Ephesus, Paul's writing to him, telling him that the Word of God is sufficient for him to teach against these false teachings, to teach against this heresy. We don't go to war with false teachers with our opinions and our thoughts. We go to war with false teaching with the Word of God. It is the offensive weapon in Ephesians. It is the weapon by which we do battle with. And so many times, brothers, we're taking our own thoughts and our own opinions and we're going to war with them, and then we can't understand why we're coming back like a dog tucked with his tail between his legs, because we've lost. Because we failed to realize that the sufficiency does not rely within ourselves, but the sufficiency relies in the Scripture of God, giving by the power of God through the Spirit of God. Scripture is sufficiently useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, restoration. The idea here is that something has fallen over and it must be stood back up to its upright place. Correction. A rebuke, even in discipline, before a church is always meant for restoration. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians to tell them to remove that brother for his sinfulness. But in 2 Corinthians, he's writing saying, restore that brother. The point of discipline is for restoration, the same thing that we would do with our kids. We don't discipline our kids to leave them in discipline. We discipline them for correction, to bring them to the right standing by which they need to be. The Word of God is sufficient to accomplish just that. That is what the Word of God is here for, to correct us, to restore us, to bring us back to the place in which we need to be. And maybe there's some of us here right now that have departed from where we need to be. And what we need to do is find ourselves studying the Word of God so that we can bring ourselves right back to the place in which we need to be. Corrected. Scripture is sufficiently useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. That training in righteousness would be like a series of disciplines in which we would work and labor at to lead us to live a life of righteousness. The idea here is to train a child. We know the passage, you train a child in the way of the Lord and he shall not depart, right? Well, that's what Paul's telling to Timothy. The Scripture is sufficient to train you up in the way of the Lord so that you will not depart. Fill your life with the Word of God. Fill your life with the Word of God. Because what you fill your life with, that's what is going to consume you. And when we look at this world, we see a lot of people's lives, some that even claim to be Christians, who have filled their life with everything but the Word of God. And that's what consumes them. That's what controls them. Training in righteousness. Righteousness that can only be given by the shed blood of Christ. We do not ever come before a holy God in our own righteousness. We come in the righteousness of Christ. This Word of God will train us up in that righteousness. Righteousness that can only be found in Christ Jesus. So Scripture is sufficiently useful in teaching, in reproof, in correction, in training. And training up in righteousness. And by that training up in righteousness, Scripture then sufficiently, or by that Scripture sufficiently completes and equips the man of God for every good work. By this, Scripture sufficiently completes to make one adequate or capable. To make one adequate or capable. The sufficiency for you to minister in whatever capacity it is that you are here to minister to others. Your sufficiency relies upon the Word of God. It is what will equip you and make you sufficient. It is the Word of God. And where else would you go but into the God of your salvation? How are you going to bring someone to salvation without searching the Word of the God of salvation? How are you going to find sanctification in your life without the one who wrote the book about sanctification? Completes you and he equips you for every good work. Equipping you to equip others. Equipping you in both salvation and sanctification in your life, but also equipping you to provide salvation for others and equipping you to provide sanctification to others. If Scripture is sufficient because it's God's Word, if Scripture is sufficient because it's profitable, Scripture is therefore sufficient to be preached. Paul says, I charge you. Forceful directive that Paul gives to Timothy. I charge you, Timothy. And the mood in which Paul is relating this verb is in the realm of reality. And there's a reason why Paul stays right there in that realm of reality. Because it is a reality. Paul's charge to Timothy is something that is a reality that he wants Timothy to realize. And it's a reality that you and I need to understand. He says, I charge you, first of all, in the presence of God. The reality is we need to understand that whether we preach, whether we teach, whether we're witnessing, whether we're sharing, whatever it is that we're doing through the Word of God, that what we're doing it is not just in the presence of man, but most importantly, it's in the presence of a holy God. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, by His appearing and His kingdom. Not only are you standing in the presence of a holy God and your Savior Jesus Christ. But he said, I'm charging you. I'm declaring to you that he is the judge. He is the final authority. Hear me, brothers. When you stand and declare the word on Sunday mornings, you are preaching to an audience. But you're preaching before a holy judge. And everything that you say, you will stand accountable to him for what you say. We have made the pulpit lax for far too long. We have made it easy to say whatever we want to say and not thus says the Lord. Failing to realize that we will give an account for every word that is preached. For every word that is taught. As Brother Brandon referred to last night, that's why not all should be teachers and preachers. It is a serious thing. A serious thing. And Paul is showing Timothy the reality that he's standing in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom. That you're preaching before a holy God who judges all. Preach the word. Preach the word.
Preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word, because the word of God is sufficient. In the presence of God, in the judgment of God, the only thing that we can stand accountable to God and say is that we preach the word of God. Preach the word, Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season. In the good times and the bad times. In the rainy season, in the dry season, in the drought, preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Guys, we're so eager and zealous for the gospel that we forget about the patience and the teaching. That it's through the teaching of the word of God and through the patience, just as God was patient with us in salvation. We forget that everything doesn't just happen overnight. That as we preach the word of God, as it begins to crack the stoniness of man's heart and it begins to crush at him as a hammer, then it begins to reveal the truth. It comes through patience. If it's one thing the Lord has taught me in the ministry of the last year, is patience. It doesn't always happen overnight. But from the teaching of the Word of God and the sufficiency of Scripture, we know that little by little, God's Word is gaining ground, because that's what He says. With patience. Why? Why is it so important for us to preach the Word? Verse 3. For the time. Or because the time is coming when people will not endure sound teachings, but have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from the listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, verse 5, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. But as for you, Timothy, you're different. You're not to be what the world is. You're not to want the same thing that the world wants in a pastor or a preacher. You're not to want the same thing that the world wants in this false teaching. Timothy, you are different. And the thing that sets you apart is the Word of God. The sufficiency of Scripture, the thing that sets us apart as the church, the called out ones, what sets us apart from everyone else is the Word of God, that we can stand upon truth. As Brother Bobby alluded to, I heard not long ago a man speaking upon apologetics, and he said that apologetics was defending God without the Bible. Now you explain to me how he's going to do that. That's not apologetics. Apologetics is defending God with God. Who else to defend God but Himself? Who else to declare who God is but God Himself? You can't do apologetics apart from the Word of God. What sets us apart from the world and from everyone else is the Word of God. The Scripture is sufficient for apologetics. The Scripture is sufficient for preaching. The Scripture is sufficient for salvation. The Scripture is sufficient to meet all your spiritual needs. It will accomplish exactly what God has set forth for it to accomplish. Preach the Word. Fulfill your ministry. Because the Scripture is sufficient. Let's pray.